Let's turn once again to 1 Corinthians 16. This is our theme verse for this study. Act like men, be strong. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, which says, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. So, we were considering what it means to act like a man. Not the understanding that people in the world have of this he-man, this muscular person who can stand up for his rights and fight for his rights. No. But the man Christ Jesus, whom God gave to earth, sent to earth, his only begotten Son, who is now his firstborn Son, who walked on this earth not only to die for our sins, came to earth not only to die for our sins, but walked on earth for 33 and a half years to show us how every man should live, how every child should live in his home in all the years he was in his home as a small boy, how a man should work in his profession when he worked as a carpenter, how he should treat other people in all his life. That is the man we are to be like. And that's why it's very, very important for us to look unto Jesus if we want to finish this race with joy. And if we want to stand firm and be alert. So Hebrews chapter 12 is a very important chapter in this connection. Hebrews, first of all, the last verse of Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is the great chapter on faith, you know. It describes all these men of the old covenant, beginning with Abel, right down to the end of the Old Testament, of men who by faith accomplished great things. They were all physical things, mostly in the realm of the external. But it says here in the last verse of Hebrews 11, don't ever read Hebrews 11 without reading the last verse. Whenever you read about somebody who split open the Red Sea or pulled down the walls of Jericho or overcame lions or defeated armies, at the end read, but God has provided something better for us, Hebrews 11:40. Did you overcome lions? Did you pull down the walls of Jericho? God has provided something better for us in the new covenant. Did you split open the Red Sea? God has provided something better for us in the new covenant. So what is this better thing? Better than pulling down walls of Jericho, better than miracles, and better than raising the dead like Elijah and Elisha. What is that better thing? Many Christians have not understood it. Even among Christians, the idea of being like Jesus is do miracles and do great things and show you're a man. That is not what the Bible says. Because the people in the Old Testament did miracles like raising the dead, splitting the Red Sea, getting manna from heaven every day for 40 years. But God was not well pleased with them. That's what it says in 1 Corinthians 10. Even though they experienced all these miracles, it says in 1 Corinthians 10, the first 6 verses, God was not pleased with these people who did the mightiest miracles that you see in the Old Testament, that you see in the Bible. There were people who raised the dead in the Old Testament. Here was a man called Elisha, you read in the Old Testament in 2 Kings chapter 13. After he died and was buried, much later, when somebody, and Elisha's body had decayed, and it was only his bones left in that grave, but it was an open grave. Somebody dug up that and threw a dead man into it in a battle. And that dead man's body touched the bones of Elisha and he was raised from the dead. Have you heard of a greater miracle than that? This is not a living man raising the dead. This is a dead man's bones raising somebody from the dead. There was anointing in the dead bones of Elisha. What shall we say at the end of it all? Hebrews 11:40. God has provided something better for us. Something better than my dead bones raising a dead man. Something better for us. Have you understood that? If you have understood it, then you've understood the new covenant. I'll explain to you. What is that better thing? See, the first four verses of chapter 12 should actually be the last four verses of Hebrews 11. You see, these chapter divisions were not made by God. They were made by man. Hebrews was one letter. It was not divided into chapters and verses, maybe into paragraphs, but not chapters and verses. So God has provided something better for us. Hebrews 11:40 goes on to the next verse, therefore. And whenever you read therefore in any verse in the Bible, go back to the previous verse to understand what it means. What is that? Therefore, God has provided something better for us. What is that? That we should now lay aside every weight and the sin that besets us and look unto Jesus and run this race. Looking unto Jesus, who took up the cross every day for 33 and a half years and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And he overcame. He overcame by taking up the cross every day. And he says to us in Revelation 3:21, if you overcome as I overcame, then as I am set down at the right hand of the throne of God, you will sit with me on my throne. Who's going to sit with Jesus on his throne? Those who overcome. How do we overcome? Here it is. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus. It means turning our eyes away from everything else unto Jesus alone, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who ran this race. You see, he began this race and he ran this race. Now we are begin this race, or should have begun when we were born again. That means the race begins when you start taking up the cross. Because it says here, he ran this race enduring the cross. That's not the physical cross that he took for 6 hours at the end of his life. No. If he told us, if you want to follow me, take up your cross every day and follow me, how could we do that if he didn't take up his cross every day? How can he be an example for me to take up my cross every day if he himself did not take up his cross every day? We need to understand this, that when it says about Jesus enduring the cross, it was a daily thing for him. It was not just once at the end of his life. It was daily. Every single day. That's why he could say to us, if you want to follow me, you have to do the same thing. Daily take up the cross. He endured the cross, and there was a shame attached to it. Act like men, take up the cross. Act like men, despise the shame of being a Christian, of being despised and rejected by men, as Jesus was, because you stand up for the truth. You stand up for the truth in a secular office, and most people will not appreciate you. You don't laugh at their dirty jokes, and you don't engage in their gossip or their rebellion against the bosses, and you will not be popular. You live as a witness for Christ and don't do anything unrighteous. You pay your taxes uprightly and do everything righteous. You will not be popular. Despise the shame. The Bible says in Hebrews 13 that Jesus was crucified outside the camp. Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus suffered outside the camp, Hebrews 13:12. He wasn't crucified inside Jerusalem. He was crucified outside Jerusalem. And it says it was just like in the old covenant, the bodies of the animals whose blood was brought into the holy place was burnt outside the camp. And that was a picture of how Jesus would be crucified outside the camp of Jerusalem, that religious place. And so it says in Hebrews 13:13, let us also, go outside this religious camp of backslidden, compromising Christendom. Outside of that, outside this Babylonian Christendom that has religion without spirituality, religion without the power of the Holy Spirit to make them holy. Let's go outside that, bearing his reproach. There is a reproach attached to being a disciple of Jesus Christ. If you're only popular, something is wrong with your Christianity. If you've never experienced reproach that Jesus experienced throughout his life, you have missed the road. You're running on the wrong track. Brother, turn back. Get onto the track and see the way Jesus went. Let us run this race, fixing our eyes on Jesus, who endured the cross because there was a joy set before him. He didn't look for a joy on this on earth, the joy that comes through making a lot of money, the joy that comes through being popular and famous, the joy that comes through people admiring you because you can preach well or because you prayed for someone who was sick and the person was healed. All this type of stuff, that's not what a true Christian is seeking for. There's no joy in that for a Christian. Have you noticed in the Gospels, whenever Jesus healed the sick, he always told them, don't tell anybody. And when people tried to make him a king, he ran away. He never sought for honor from men. He did not do a miracle to get honor before men. He did not preach a sermon to get honor before men. The Bible says in Galatians 1:10, if I seek to please men, I cannot be a servant of Christ. You'll be a servant of the devil, all right, but you won't be a servant of Christ. Impossible. Looking unto Jesus, who for the joy set in front of him, what was the joy set in front of him that enabled him to endure a cross? In the previous two chapters earlier in Hebrews 10, it says Jesus entered into the most holy place. In the Old Testament tabernacle, there was a place called the most holy place, which is blocked off with a veil, a curtain. And God's glory dwelt in the most holy place. It was not in the outer court. It was not in the holy place. It was in that place beyond the veil. And it says in Hebrews 10 and verse 19 and 20 that that veil was a picture of the flesh of Jesus, the will of Jesus. Flesh means his will, which he denied and denied and denied. That's the meaning of taking up the cross. He denied his own will every single day for 33 and a half years and thus rent the veil of his flesh. God enabled him through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when he died on the cross, he said, it is finished. That means every part of self-will has been crucified. He was tempted throughout his life to do his own will. Right from the beginning, till Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will. Even in the most painful of all temptations, to be forsaken by the Father on the cross, even to that uttermost, he said, not my will. For the sake of lost humanity, I'm willing to go to hell for 6 hours on the cross, for 3 hours on the cross. And he was forsaken, experiencing an eternal hell in those 3 hours. He said, I'm willing, I give up my will to do your will, Father, to save man so that his sin can be blotted out, so that I can take the entire punishment for the entire human race. He endured the cross, but he had taken it up every day of his life. The veil was rent finally when he said it is finished, and the way into the most holy place was opened up. And the Bible says in Psalm 16:11, in the Father's presence is fullness of joy. Jesus knew that. There is only one place in the universe, where there is fullness of joy. There's a little bit of so-called joy in different parts of things on this earth, but not fullness. Fullness of joy is found only in the presence of the Father, Psalm 16:11. That is in the most holy place. And Jesus knew to get there, you've got to go through the veil. You've got to rend the veil. You've got to say no to your self-will. He did that every day. And he lived in the Father's presence every day. That is the man God has set before us as an example. That is what it means to act like a man, to take up the cross every day, not to be scared to take up the cross, not to be ashamed to take up the cross, not to be afraid of the reproach that comes through taking up the cross and standing up for Christ boldly, suffering the reproach.